Now, as you can notice, I am wearing one of our old winter retreat youth t-shirts. And this is where I actually got the idea for this t-shirt. Some of you have probably seen this on the internet before. If you search for stuff, it pops up occasionally. But I just love this when I saw it. You can make a difference. And then, you know, instead of somebody's phone number there for them to mow your yard or whatever, it says, I will. And so we made that up into a t-shirt because one of the things that we try to instill in our kids is the same thing that Jesus instilled in his disciples. I think it's the reason that the American church is at times so difficult and weak and has such a hard time separating from worldliness and is underneath the assault that is underneath right now. And some of you know, some even big known pastors who have been very, very well known are now taking a stand in some issues that they say that, I no longer believe what the Bible says. We're going to be Christians, but we're not going to take the Word of God as authority. That's a difficult place for the church to be in. It's not like that in other places, but we are dealing with that here in the United States. And part of the reason is when you read the New Testament, Jesus never presented the gospel as you're a sinner, and the judgment of that is hell, and if you believe in me, you won't have to go to hell. And that's the gospel. That's never presented like that in the Bible. Jesus always says there's a kingdom of God and there's a kingdom of the devil. There's a kingdom of darkness. There's a kingdom of light. There's the kingdom of heaven where God rules in your heart. And there's a kingdom where you are your own God. And that is sin. You separate yourself from God. You don't want to be with God. You don't want to hear from God. You want to be your own God and make your own decisions. You don't want God to decide what's good or what's evil, what's bitter or what's sweet. You want to decide that for yourself. And so you're separated from God. And even though we rebelled, and I love the way Madison said that when we talked, she said, you know, she had rebelled. She wanted to do her own thing. She didn't want to be told what to do. Well, that's everybody. That's the state of being lost and separated from God. How does God lead you if you don't want to listen to him? And so Christ came and demonstrated his love on the cross. He died on the cross, and when the way he did it revealed how much the people around him wanted their own way. If he'd come and do miracles and heal their sick, hey, they're all over that. If he'll come and provide for them and destroy their enemies and he will financially put them in a state where they can rule and live in peace and harmony, then they're all for that. But if he wants them to deny themselves and forgive their enemies and to live with the heart that God has of compassion and generosity and love, well, that infringes upon my plans and my agenda. And if push hard enough, people who never thought that they would ever even say an unkind word to someone, let alone throw a rock at them or try to hurt them, were participants gladly in his death to get him out of their lives if he kept pressing. That's interesting, isn't it? That's what's inside the hearts of people. We want it our way. It's revealed in our prayers. Most of us pray for what we want. Jesus says, pray for what God wants. But that's not the way we think when we're separated from him. And so separated from God in that kingdom of darkness, even though there's millions of people and God doesn't need any one of us, and our lives go by so fast that we would think, how could our lives be significant or useful to God? He still sees us. He still cares about us. He still speaks to us. But when he calls us, it is not about punishment. It is about leaving the kingdom of darkness and entering the kingdom of light. It is about being in a place where I serve myself and coming to a place where I now will serve the King of the universe, who loves me so much that he will not treat me as a servant, he will treat me as a son. But he's still God. And as long as I'm in a place where I do not want that, then I'm lost. And when Christ called people, he never called them to forgiveness. He called them to follow him. And he told them what he was going to do if they followed him. He was going to make them a light. He was going to make them salt. And he was going to make them a fisher of men. If you follow me, I'm going to change your heart. And the love of God is going to shine out in you where other people are going to see it. He didn't say that might happen. He didn't say it happened for the leaders. He didn't say it happened for a few. He said, everyone who follows me, this is what you're going to do. You're going to quit living for yourself. You're going to start living for God. And my Holy Spirit is going to change you to be like Christ. And everybody around you is going to see it. So we don't try to talk to our kids about the punishment for their sins and the forgiveness that God gave them, and that's the whole story. We tell them, look, you have to come out of that kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. So when you come, part of the gospel is this: I now want to live for you. Well, what does that mean? It means God's going to use you to make a difference. You look and you say, well, I don't see how I can make a difference. I'm just an ordinary person. I don't have any power. I'm not well educated. I don't have that many skills. I don't have that many talents. There's so many people in the world. How can I make a difference? Well, there's so many people in the world, and guess what? God spoke to you. He called you out. For some reason, God saw you. He moved in your heart. Jesse Oates did a kind of a winter retreat for us one time, and she used this right here. Ordinary people, extraordinary God. You know our problem is? We don't believe if we pull that shirt back that it says Superman. But let me tell you, it doesn't say Superman, it says supernatural. When I pull that shirt back, you know what's there? Christ. Christ is there. And the world can't overcome Christ. That's a huge power in my life. Christ can make a difference in every situation. And if I'm a Christian and Christ lives in my heart and I am growing to allow him to mature in my heart, then I am an ordinary person who is inhabited by an extraordinary God. And yes, it may be impossible with men, but nothing is impossible with what? Hey, I'm telling you, when Rhonda and Steve brought Madison here, they knew God could do it, but you were worried, weren't you? You thought it, in man's ways, it could be impossible. Salvation is impossible for everyone. No man can save himself. No man has the ability to convey spiritual things to another man where he can say, I can't do that. Madison's not driving down and she doesn't hear God say, this is your time, let me tell you what. She hasn't had an encounter connecting with God. I can talk with her and she can be convinced and she can say, okay, I agree with you, I want to do what you say. That's not an encounter with God. We have the ability to let God shine through our lives. It's what makes us important and special. God gives us that ability because he wants us to feel special because he loves us. The gospel is incomplete. How can you be a follower of God without following God? That doesn't make sense anywhere except in America. But that's the gospel in America that we've preached for 50 years. That's why we've got the church in America that we have. We've got many, many people who are sitting in church pews that come Sunday to acknowledge God because they want his blessing, but they have no intention whatsoever of not making the choices in life that they think are best. They don't stop and pray and ask God. They are not looking to follow him. They follow themselves and want God to bless. And we've created a gospel that says you can still do that. You can be in a place where you do not see what God is doing. You do not see and understand. You are not in awe and wonder of his grace and his goodness and his touch on your heart. You can't be in awe of the fact that this God who created the universe sees you, a little dot, and he cares about you. That doesn't move your soul. Because you're in darkness. And I don't mean you. I mean that generically. Because as I speak, I know that many of you are saying, yes, that is the problem with the world. That is the problem with the world. And making them feel good for a moment when they feel guilty is not the answer. It is a connection with God that is the answer. So how do I start to make a difference? This is the last page in that little booklet that we, Sean and I put together, that we have kind of been just doing a series of sermons, kind of an overview of what that discipleship book is like. And this is the last page, because this is the part where you have to pick up. Actually, the first page starts with, Jesus said, come to me, and I will make you fishers of men. Because that's where Jesus starts when he calls. But it ends up in the same place. You got to start. You got to start someplace. And I know what people are saying. I'm not mature enough to start. That's what I said. That's what everybody says. We got two men sitting in here that specifically said these words. I feel called by God to start meeting with other men and sharing my faith, but it took them a year before they ever got somebody to do it. Because they're like everyone else. They're afraid. Just like everyone else. They know the reality of it. They're not equipped to teach spiritual things to other people. How do you do that? How do I move in someone's heart where the Spirit of God captures it? Well, men cannot do that. If you take on a task that you know you're unequipped to do, that's a little scary, isn't it? And it's what God calls us to. And we all start off just like this little kid. We have no idea what we're doing. All we know is this, is God does not want me to live my faith privately. He wants me to shine my light publicly before others. To make a difference in someone's life, you just need to what? Share. And I'm not talking about your sandwich at lunch. You need to share your heart. They need to be able to see your life. You have to share your life. You are now the body of Christ. Think about that. Jesus is not here on earth. He's not going to physically talk, hug, or spend time with anybody unless he's already got a spiritual connection and it's in their heart. You're the body of Christ. You're the outreach tool. And we've got on the back, Jeff Worley made this up for us, and I love this little icon because it expresses how God calls us to be part of his kingdom. And when we pray, your kingdom come, your will be done, this is what we're praying about. This is his kingdom, how it comes. This is his will for us to be a part of his work. And the first one is this, let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another. If we don't gather together, how is God going to work? If we don't gather and bring people in that we're reaching out to, that God puts on our hearts to bring them in contact with where his Spirit is moving, how will they hear? How will they be a part of what God is if we don't show them? I love this picture right here. I got it last week from Jesse Oates. It's her father, David, and her mother, BJ. They're somewhere in India. Somewhere in India that can't be told, because India, as we've heard from before, is a country that is planning, the government is planning the extinction of Christianity. Her father is in a place where there are not as many pastors attending this year as last year, because when he asked him, he says, where are so-and-so? They're in heaven. They've been killed for their faith, for sharing the gospel. He's in this hotel. He got there early. Other people who are the pastors in the area have come in at different times and taken rooms. And then they sneak down at different times into this hotel conference room. And what they're trying to do is hope that no one knows they're actually there. Because if they leave and they know they've been there training to share the gospel, they're targeted. And they may be executed. And yet look at their faces. They're so happy to be there. You know, when I first heard about this trip and when I've heard about others, I felt the same way. I'd love to go, wouldn't you? I would like to sit in a room with people who weren't talking about denying themselves and picking up their cross and following Christ even to the death. I would like to be in a room with people who are actually doing it. They've already vetted out all those who honor him with their lips, but their heart is far from him. They're in that room, let me tell you, their hearts are close to Christ. And we need to pray for them that God will protect them, because they're going out of that room to share the gospel in a place that is difficult to share, knowing that they are going to pay a price for showing God's love. And you think that they're afraid? Well, when they get in the human nature, they are. But their faith overcomes that fear. Their relationship with Christ and presence of Christ in their life is more real and more important to them than their fears. And we talked a couple weeks ago about how when we look at that fear, we cower and we leave the work to someone else. And really what we do is we don't follow Christ. But if we turn to him and we live in him and we worship him and we spend time with him, our faith grows and the fears are still there. The threat is still there. But our faith is bigger and we cannot but speak the things that we have seen and heard. You remember when Peter and John said that when they were being persecuted? We need to live by faith. We don't need to be intimidated by what someone else will think about us or someone else might say about us or whether or not we might be invited or included to something or whether or not we might lose something. We need to think about those people who are there who are willing to lose their lives. They're an example to us of the strength of the church and the strength of the joy of the Lord that we should have because we fear nothing. What can man do to me? No one can separate me from the love of Christ. Whatever man takes away from me, God will give me back 100-fold. And it's all wrapped up in the purpose that God gives me for my life that makes me a grain of salt significant in this world because of what his Spirit does through me. I want to climb the mountain. I want to be part of what God is doing. I want to live on that mountaintop that God is taking me up to. And that second part is that we equip God's people to do his work. That's what those people are there for. That's why I love Greg's ministry. He's not bringing in people to preach. The word of God is bringing out people who have a heart that wants to preach. And what they're doing is equipping them to let them go do the work. Because the work is done by the people of God. Equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. We need to be strong until we all come to such unity in faith. That means we are walking by faith in God. We are looking to him. We are fixing our eyes on Jesus. We will do what God tells us to do. We are not so distracted by the things of the world that the mission that God has for us is neglected. It's unknown. But we are following him in faith that he will work. And the knowledge of God's sons, because let me tell you something, God reveals himself to us as we follow him. I can read about the miracles, and they're great. The miracle of parting the Red Sea is tremendous. But there is no substitute for God parting my Red Sea. When I see God open up those waters and allow me to walk through where I thought I was doomed, I know him personally. I see his strength. I see his power. I see his grace. And I know that hearing his voice is something that I need to follow. And so I am more in tune and more able to follow that. We come to the knowledge of God's Son and we become mature in the Lord as we follow. We follow where he leads. And that's exactly what's happening in that room in India. It's what's happening over in Cuba. It's what's happening in many places. Great leaders start off as great followers. All the disciples were Christ's what? Followers. They all were there sharing with people who were ahead of them, and Christ at that time was the top. No one was ahead of him, right? But he led them, he walked with them in their lives. He explained to them how things needed to be looked at, what their perspective was, how they need to act. He showed them because they watched him do what he said. And they developed and matured. I love 1 John 2:6. He who says he abides in him, that means lives in Christ, ought also himself to what? Walk just as he walked. I don't know how many Christians I know who thinks this verse is impossible. I can't walk as Jesus walked. I can't do miracles. I can't do... How do you have the church who comes up and says, we can't be like Christ, when he says, I'm going to transform you into my image? There's a disconnect right there. No, I'm not like Christ, but I'm more like Christ than I was 10 years ago. And I'll be more like Christ in 10 years than I am right now. And do I see Christ being formed in my heart? Yes, I do. Do I look at things differently than I used to? Yes, I do. Do I see the power of God in my life when I obey him more than I used to? Yes, I do. Is it the same as Jesus? No, but that's the direction I'm going. And it's what I want. I want to walk like him. A disciple is not greater than his teacher, but everyone, when fully trained, will be like his teacher. How can you be a Christian and say, I'm not up for training? I'm already saved. I'm going to heaven. Don't bother me with the training stuff. Look, if I wanted that, I'd have joined the Marines. I don't want to be disciplined. I just want to be forgiven and left alone. I want to stay in darkness. I want to enjoy this world. I don't want to know what you've got. Eternal things being more important than physical things. You know how much fun it is to do this? Don't bother me. And yet we think that's following Christ? Only in America. Only in America do we think that that is following Christ. For I have given you an example that you also should do just as I have done to who? To you. And that's still where we live right here. How do we expect people to do what Jesus wants to do if we're not doing what he said and we're not helping them learn how to do what we learned? Somehow, you know how long the Old Testament is? You know how many years it took for God to take someone who had no consciousness of who he was to get to a place where it was time for Jesus to come and explain things? We're going to let every person in the world take that full journey within their lifetime? They need examples in front of them. They need help in seeing, how do I follow Christ? I love what Paul says. It's the same thing Jesus said. Follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. You know how I've learned to do that? By looking at people who understood how to follow Christ more than I did. I didn't discover it in my own mind because of my great Bible study. I had help from people who were mature Christians. How do you become a mature Christian if you are surrounded by shallow people? You think like your friends. You gravitate to where your friends. You have to have people in your lives who are godly to help you understand what godliness is. You cannot surround yourself with worldly thinking, and somehow everyone is going to break through and be like Paul. In 2 Timothy, he says this: you have heard me teach things that have been confirmed by many reliable witnesses. Man, there's a lot of people in this room who've walked through some really difficult things and seen God do some tremendous miracles. And we're a small enough group, and we're a group that's a family, and we bring people into the family so we know one another, and you know that's true. We've got some strength in this body. We've got some faithful people in this body. We've got some people who want desperately to put Christ first and are growing in that. Now teach these truths to other trustworthy people who will be able to pass them on to others. This is God's plan. It's his way. Everywhere you read in the Bible, you see this plan. It is not going to happen in another way. We can't say, well, God, that's a pretty good plan, but it takes too much of my time, so I'm not going to get involved. Do it on your own. I mean, I know we would never say it that way, but sometimes our attitudes could reflect that. Jesus says, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be what? It cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand. Jesus all starts off when he's calling people and he's saying this. He's saying, Jacob, I want you to follow me, and let me tell you where you're going. I'm going to put you on a stand. Right now, when you make that first commitment to you, to me, I'm not going to tattoo child of God on your forehead. But let me tell you, it's there, and I don't want you to put a hat on and cover it up. I want everybody to know that you are my child, and I want them to see what I do in your life because of your commitment to me. I want them to see it. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. I mean, we pray the Lord's Prayer. This is what we're praying. Not my will, but your will be done. Not my kingdom come. Don't help me establish my kingdom on earth. Let your kingdom come. That's what we pray for. Therefore, we are what? We are ambassadors for Christ. God making his appeal through us. We implore you, on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. He's telling us what God's heartbeat is. He's always out looking, seeking to save the lost. He wants men who are lost to wake up and come to him and be reconciled to him. That's what's in God's heart. It's why Christ came. So when God transforms us into the image of Christ, that is what will be born in our hearts. A love and compassion for others. A desire for their mercy. A willingness to step out and stand out and do what we can to help them be reconciled to God. We gather as followers so that we can grow in Christ-like character, because you can't share Christ if you don't look like him. It's real difficult for me to cheat you or steal from you or lie to you or abuse you or to take advantage of you and then tell you how much God loves you. I've got to have Christ's character. And then to develop the skills to be able to communicate that, to understand how the devil works, to understand how God works, to understand how to show you mercy and love. And then we go and we share and we serve in order to make disciples so that they can gather with us and they can grow and they can go. This is the process that Jesus did when he came on earth. He didn't preach great sermons, so great crowds came. He invested in a few who invested in a few who invested in a few who invested in a few. So we couldn't just see, or we couldn't just hear it, but we could see it and touch it and feel it and follow it. And it's the call to every one of us. And that's what Eastwood is. It's what all churches are. It's what all churches should be. It's what God wants for us. And it's the question that we need to ask ourselves. Am I following Christ, or am I letting the world help me drift away? Because when we drift away from Christ, we drift away from the things Christ wants to do in our lives. This is Camilla Wu. I went to a thing with Shelley, which was at her work, where they do different type of materials they get out to people who are sharing Christ. She started up an app in China where you cannot share the gospel. And it's a We Devote, it's a Christian app. There are 4 million users right now. They have some of them have a 4-hour commute on the bus back and forth to work. And so she said, well, during that time, you can't do things publicly to share Christ and things like that. But we could put an app up there that they could access and be able to read the Bible themselves. So that's kind of what they do. And she was talking a little bit about how you share Christ in China. You know, you can't have a church service like this that's evangelical. It's got to be church-directed or government-directed church service. And so what happens is somebody like Mark, he befriends and gets to know someone, and he is living his life in a way that he is waiting for them to say, man, how did you do that? Why didn't you do this? How can you feel that way? Why aren't you worried? How come you're not mad? Ask a reason of the hope that is within them. And then they share Christ, knowing that if that person rejects and wants to go to the government, they're going to suffer for it. They may lose their home, they may lose their family, they may be put in jail. and may be killed. They don't know what's going to happen. But every time they share their faith with an individual, they're taking a risk. Well, I tell you what, that'll bring a disciple out of you really quick, won't it? That kind of pressure makes you really evaluate how much you love Christ and what you're doing. I think the big curse of America is we don't have to make that choice. We don't have to give up anything to be Christians. And we've kind of changed the church to make it a place that you don't have to give up anything for Christ. It doesn't cost you anything. It's all blessings. It's all good. You can fit in. As a matter of fact, God is going to help you fit into the world better than you ever could without Him. You can have everything the world offers. You can be successful. You can have everything that a person who's not serving Christ really wants, but God's going to give it to you. And that's the heartbeat of our life, is enjoying everything this world gives us. And we know that that is not what God wants from us. Go, He says, and make disciples of all nations. Teach these disciples to obey all the commands I've given you. Now, what does that mean? I've heard people who can tell you exactly what it means. It means you got to meet with somebody here. You got to have a group here. You got to do this or that. What does it mean? It means let your light shine. That's all it means. Some people, it may mean have a discussion with your kids. Some of them, it may mean that when you're talking with a neighbor and he talks to you and says, or she talks to you and says something, and you have an opportunity to express why Christ has given you freedom in that area or why Christ has blessed you, that you do it. And that may be all it means. We're all a part of it, but it means this: I'm thinking about God's kingdom and what God wants for me and the people around me. Do not despise these small beginnings. Our problem in churches is we always want to come up with something grand thing that's going to change the world. And you know who God wants you to change? Your daughter. Her friend. He's not looking for one of us to do something great. He's looking for all of us to do something that may look small, but it really is great. For the Lord rejoices to see His work begin. What do you think God was thinking when He saw that baptism? Some of you are very happy. I bet it doesn't come close to what God is feeling, because God loves that work. Let's pray. Father, we really, in our lives, we don't want to be deceived. We don't want to be playing games and then find out that our lives were built on sand. We want the truth from you. Because we know that the truth from you is good. It's not something that makes our life more difficult. It's something that allows you to be in control of our lives, which brings us all the blessings that our hearts truly desire, that we can never scratch and pull out of the world. And yet when we just forget all that and give ourselves to you, you add all those things to us. And what we really want to do, Lord, is have you look in our hearts right now and give this question to us and allow us with the Holy Spirit to look and see, am I seeking your kingdom first? Because we truly believe, Lord, that if we do that, you will add all those things to us. But if we worship any other god, our wives, our children, our job, success, money, entertainment, drugs, alcohol, sex, whatever we worship and put above you that we care about first, none of that will ever bring us what our hearts desire. It will bring us destruction, because the thief comes to kill and destroy. And we don't want to be killed. We don't want to be destroyed. We don't want our loved ones to be destroyed. We want to worship you first. So God, I ask you just to penetrate our hearts. And any area of our lives that is not seeking you first, I ask you to reveal it. And I ask you to speak to us and convict us not just of that sin, but of your righteousness, what you want us to do. And I pray, Lord, that you will free us and bless us with your presence. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.